All right, Daniel chapter number 2. It's Friday, and we've made it to the second chapter. All right, while you're turning there, use your imagination now. What must this have been like? You've had a, perhaps maybe a long day, beginning to settle down and maybe think about going to bed and relaxing a little bit. It's you and a couple of your friends. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you hear the rapping on the door. Actually, it was probably more like beating on the door. Open up! Order of the king, open up! Of course, the king's your boss. You open the door, and there standing there in front of you is the commander of the army, the top military brass. You open the door, and respectfully, what is it, sir? What do you want? He says, I have orders from the king to kill you and all of your friends. Come with me. You're going to die. And this is not a joke. It's the real thing. Can you imagine the... What? What's going on here? The shock? You know, that's exactly what happened to Daniel here in Daniel chapter 2. Out of the blue, without any sort of warning, you're faced with, this is the end. And based upon what comes out of your mouth in the next few moments will determine whether you live or die. So whatever I come up with, whatever I say in the next few moments, it will make the difference between whether or not I'm still alive tomorrow or whether or not it's curtains for me and all of my friends and colleagues. That was what Daniel faced. We're going to talk about that today. On Tuesday, we talked about what made Daniel an excellent example for us, what gave him his excellent spirit. First of all, we saw it was Daniel and his relationship. And then on Wednesday, we talked about Daniel and his character. And then yesterday, we talked about Daniel and his choice. And today we're going to talk about Daniel and his walk from Daniel chapter number 2. Look there in verse 1, Daniel 2 verse 1. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. And the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. At this point, this is probably normal sort of behavior, normal sort of happenstance. All right, the king's got something in his mind, and he wants us to explain that to him or to give him some help or some, all right, this is fine. Just tell us, king, what you've dreamed, and we'll try to figure it out. We'll try to help you do that. And then the king, this is where things, where you understand that things are a little different. Then the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing's gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made dunghills. Whoa, okay, all right. And you can see them kind of recoiling. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. And therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. Then answered again, or they answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream and we will show the interpretation of it. And the king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time, because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, "There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore is no king, lord, nor ruler that ask any such things that any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God, or of the God of heaven, concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Lord, would you bless our time around your word? Lord, we know that in your word is something of value for every single one of us. But Lord, I need your help to be able to identify that the thing that you want us to see, to be able to present it and communicate it effectively and clearly. Help me, Lord, in these next few moments. And I pray that you'd help these young people to get something that they can apply. It will make a difference in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this story takes place early on in Daniel's captivity. You notice the chapter opens with in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, that can mean one of two things. It was either Nebuchadnezzar's second year, meaning that Daniel had only been in Babylon for that long, if that. Or it could be that it was the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's solo reign. He reigned along with his father for a time. And that would mean that this is Daniel's third or fourth year of being in Babylon. So suffice it to say, it's within the first 5 years of Daniel being in Babylon. He's still a young person. He might even be a teenager still, or at most in his early 20s. And so he had gone through, as we looked at yesterday, the test of the king's meat. And that was hard enough, but now this is a different test. This is something on a completely different level even. And if Daniel doesn't have a true and genuine and real walk with God, if he doesn't have that, where, you know, he's hearing from God on a daily basis, he's communicating with God on a regular basis, if Daniel is lacking that in any way, it's going to cost him his life. Let that sort of sink in for a little bit, and maybe even ask yourself the question, what if my very existence, what if my life was dependent upon the quality of my personal walk with God? What if my life was dependent upon the quality of the time I spent with God this morning? That's a convicting thought, isn't it? That's exactly what Daniel was faced with. And you can understand the difficulty, the shock of, all right, you're going to die unless you can come up with something. And this is not just, I need to think of something fast. No, I need to get something from God, and I need it very quickly. That's what's going on here. And as young people growing up in Christian homes, we think about walking with God. It can be difficult to tell just by looking. So much of the outside is determined for you. There are rules that you got to live within, and there's nothing wrong with those rules. They're helpful. It's hard to detect who is really walking with God and who is not. Now, you can tell if you dig deep enough, but as far as on the surface, it's really hard to tell. Because it might be easy to get by with, you know, camps and school memory verses for your paces and chapels and Bible studies and singspirations. You might be able to get to survive and get by with an anemic or non-existent walk with God. But when the test comes, when you need to get an answer from God, when you need discernment from God, when you need direction from God, it's going to be quite obvious whether or not you have a walk with God that's real, that's genuine, that's alive, that's worth anything. Because you can't say, well, now I need, and this is what a lot of people do, you know, I need to hear from God. I need to know what decision I'm supposed to make. And so let me just pray a little bit. Let me read some of the Bible and we'll see if we'll come up with an answer. Now, it's too late to begin a walk with God. If Daniel had not walked with God until this point, it's kind of like, well, hold on. I need to figure out how this works and see if I can get a hold of God. No, he already knew. He already had a walk with God, and that walk with God made all the difference in his life. And I say that with confidence because if you look all the way towards the end of his life, Daniel in the lion's den, what do you find him doing at that point? There he's consistently. You remember the princes, they were trying to find something to get Daniel. And they said, you know what, we're not going to find anything except it is something to have to do with him and his God. He was so consistent that even those wicked princes looking on trying to get rid of him were saying that was all they could find. You have a question? What's that? Oh, yeah. 3 times a day. And he did that consistently. Right. People knew it. So this is a pattern. A pattern in Daniel's life. But let's think and consider just this instance here in chapter number 2. First of all, let's consider, think about Daniel's difficulty. Understand the difficult situation that Daniel's in at this point. He's lacking all help from his parents. He's lacking all the help that might have been given from godly counselors as what he was supposed to do in this situation. He didn't have, the priest or another older, wiser individual to consult. He basically, now I know he's got some friends there with him, but they're kind of looking to him for leadership as well. He's basically all alone in making this decision. He's the one that Arioch comes to, the captain of the guard, who is probably coming with his weapons and all of his garb and saying, all right, this is it. You're going to die. Come on, let's go. Wow. I mean, this is a crazy situation. He's dealing with an angry and irrational authority. I mean, I think verse 5 kind of gives us that this is an angry, irrational authority. If you won't make known unto me the dream and the interpretation, I'm going to cut you in pieces and I'm going to turn your house into a dunghill. It's pretty angry. It's pretty irrational. Verse 12, he's very angry, very furious is the word that's used there. And he's going to destroy all of them. All of them. I don't know how many there were, but it would have been a fairly large group because Daniel and his 3 friends, that group of 4, was not a part of the initial consultation of the Chaldeans. And that seemed like it was another group. So, I mean, we're talking dozens, perhaps maybe even more, hundreds, maybe. I don't know, but this is a pretty large group of people. But Nebuchadnezzar wasn't having any of this funny business. We're going to kill them all. It's an angry, irrational authority. That's a difficult situation to deal with. That's not easy. And if that weren't enough, he's dealing with an impossible situation because the only way out of this is to somehow to somehow learn to come to the knowledge of what the king dreamed and then what the interpretation was. And you remember what the Chaldeans said in verse 10 and 11. They said, there isn't anybody who can do this. There's not a man upon the earth. This is the rare thing that you're asking. And no one can show, verse 11, no one other than the gods can show this to you, Nebuchadnezzar. And the gods don't live here on earth. This is impossible. So Daniel's dealing with an impossible situation. There is no human means available to him to get out of this. The only answer is to receiving something from God. That's a difficult situation. All of that with the imminent threat on his life. That if he doesn't figure it out, that if he doesn't hear from God, he's going to die. Along with all of his friends. I mean, this is a difficult situation. And you know what? If you haven't figured this out, you're going to start figuring it out, that life is filled with difficult decisions. Life is filled with pressure points, specific times where it really feels like the pressure is on you to make a decision, to respond in a certain way, and it can be and can feel overwhelming. In those situations, some of you are seniors this year and you're starting to think about the overwhelming choices and options and opportunities that await you that are out there. And you're like, I got to make a decision. I have no idea what to do. And that's okay. It's all right. You don't have to have everything figured out. But see, life is filled with these crossroads moments, these difficulties in which if we rely on ourselves and our own wisdom, we just don't have it. We don't have it. We need God's wisdom. We need God's direction. Where does that come from? There's only one place that comes from, and that is from your walk with God. So Daniel's difficulty, but then notice number two, Daniel's answer. This is really interesting in verse 14, how it describes his answer. Then Daniel answered, and you see the next phrase, Daniel answered with what? Verse 14, say it out loud, with counsel and wisdom. Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom. Now let's go back to where we started, all right? The door's being beaten upon. There's the captain in front of the door, and he's saying, "Come with me. It's curtains for all the wise men. I've have orders to have you killed." What is the natural response to that? Put yourself in that circumstance, situation for a moment. What's the natural response when crises come our way? Our natural response, our fleshly response, is to react with emotion. Now, depending on what kind of a person you are, those emotions might range from sheer panic. Those emotions might be, we're going to fight this. You know, over my dead body. All right. We're going to fight this. The fight or flight, you know, sort of reaction. That is the natural response, is to react in emotion. But you understand that Daniel very calmly and wisely does not react to the situation. He responds to the situation. How is that possible? Because everyone else is there's a lot of emotion going on. You know, specifically from the king, all right? Kill them all! Because they couldn't answer a simple question. They don't know something that you don't even know. I mean, that's irrational. That's emotion-based behavior. But here Daniel's responding to that irrationality with counsel and wisdom. How is that possible? Well, Galatians 5:16 tells us how that's possible, right? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do we not react to situations like this in the flesh? There is only one way. And what is that way? Walking in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is dependent upon your walk with God. That's how you walk in the Spirit. That's how you initiate walking in the Spirit. You have a personal and passionate relationship with God. So you notice that he answered with counsel. Counsel, that word counsel means prudent. We talked about that the other day, right? Prudence. The ability to look down the road and see the consequences of certain actions and behaviors and decisions. Looking down the road and seeing the evil and then saying, well, let's not go that way. Let me hide myself from that. Let me prevent that from taking place. It's the idea of thoughtfulness, prudent thoughtfulness. He answers with counsel. And like we've already mentioned, in a crisis, it's natural for us to react in the flesh. Without a walk with God, we will naturally react in emotion. Daniel instead responded with counsel. Why? Because he was walking in the Spirit. And his walk in the Spirit was based upon the foundation of his daily time with God. His daily walk with God. You cannot walk in the Spirit without a relationship as far as communication with God. Back. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit, by the way. Sometimes we think it's like this mystical sort of thing. Like, you know, it just sort of happens to you. No, it's not that. Walking in the Spirit is, God, in this moment, what do you want me to do? God, that just happened to me. How do you want me to respond? God, I have this decision. Which one should I do? God, I'm faced with this choice. Which choice should I make? That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. That you seek God's direction, God's input for every choice, for every step, right? It's called a walk for a reason. What is walking? It is putting one foot in front of the other. It's making decisions based upon what God wants on a regular basis. And that starts with developing communication with God in your own private time with Him. He answered with counsel, but then He also answered with wisdom. With counsel and wisdom. I ask you, where did this wisdom come from? We talked about it yesterday. Look at verse 17 of the previous chapter. Where did this wisdom come from? Sunday school answer, everybody. God. It came from God. That's where the wisdom came from. Verse 21 here in our chapter mentions it as well. God gives wisdom. The end of verse 21. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. So Daniel was able to answer with counsel and with wisdom because he had been and he was at that moment in touch with God. He had been walking with God, and so therefore he had the wisdom of God. If we're not walking with God, how can we expect to have God's wisdom? And I like this. Because what was the wisdom that he responded with? What was the request in verse 16? Daniel's wisdom showed in this request. The request was what? Time to seek God. That's all the request was. The wise request was not a clever plan. Not a permission to defend themselves, not a plan of escape, like how can we get out the back door and, you know, get out of this place. But the request of wisdom was, give me time to spend with God. Wow. That's wisdom right there. What Daniel is telling us is, I don't need any of those other things. A plan of escape, something clever to wiggle my way out of this. He realized one thing. What do I need? I need my time with God. What do you think about that? Do you need your time with God? Are you there yet where you understand? I need my time with God. That was Daniel's wise response. I need time with God. And that allowed him, number three, we saw the difficulty and we saw the answer. That led to Daniel's resource. Notice the resource that Daniel goes to. Verse 17, after he petitions for time that he needs, verse 17, Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Daniel's resource. Where did Daniel immediately go in the midst of his need? He went to God. He went to his friends and he told them, we need to get a hold of God. You guys pray. I'm going to pray. We've got to hear from God. So what Daniel did immediately when he was faced with this dire need is his first response was to go to God in prayer. And that's convicting because what do we do when we are confronted with dire situations, difficulties, crises? We automatically go to, what can I do to get out of this? Instead of, is God our first call? Not the last call. Well, the only thing we can do now is pray. That's last call, right? First call is, okay, Lord, I need your help. I can't do this by myself. And notice the communication, right? They go to God in prayer. And then verse 20, then was a secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. So we have Daniel going to God, communicating with God his need, and then God communicates with Daniel. Do you see the similarity here? What is a walk with God? Well, a walk with God is us communicating to God and God communicating to us. Now, you say, well, it would be really nice if I could have a vision. But you understand you have everything that God wants you to have. It's sitting in your lap. You have it in your hands. This is how you hear from God. And of course, in prayer, that's how you speak to God. That's a relationship with God. That's a walk with God. And Daniel had it to lean on when the crisis came. Question is, do we have it? Do you have it? What is your walk with God like? Because Daniel had this walk with God, he had confidence in his relationship with God. Not in himself necessarily, but in his relationship with God. You see that in verse 16. He goes and desires time of the king that he would show the king the interpretation. And then in verse 18, he clearly says, he needs to hear from the God of heaven concerning this secret, that God would need to reveal this secret. See, Daniel's faith was not, and his trust was not in himself and his spirituality, but his faith was strong when he needed it to be because he believed in God and he had taken the time to develop that faith in his walk with God. He believed God has the answer. That's the faith. God has the answer. And he developed that faith through his regular walk with God. In the day-to-day, sort of boring, mundane couple of years that it's been, if it's been that long, here in Babylon, where we got over the crisis of the king's meat and what do we do about that? And that all worked out well. So now just in the normal day-to-day life of living in Babylon as an advisor to the king, that's when he developed that walk so that right here when the crisis comes, hear from God or die, Daniel knew what to do. He was accustomed to hearing from God and responding to God before the crisis. He was accustomed to it. He was, another way to say that, he's used to it. He's comfortable with it. He's done it before. His confidence was in his relationship with God. We also see that Daniel's here under Daniel's resource, we also see his leadership with his friends. They respond to his leadership immediately. They respond to him. Why? Because they already knew that Daniel walked with God. They already knew it. And so when Daniel said, hey, we need to pray, they were like, you're right, we need to pray. Let's do it together. Let's pray. And Daniel's resource then led to a timely answer that very night. The very night. Now, if you kind of just think about the chronology in your mind, Daniel or Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream and was upset no one could answer it and puts out this decree. So that all takes time. This is the very next night Daniel's hearing from God. From what we can tell, it was in the very next moment. This was not an accident, I'm telling you. It's not an accident. Daniel had a pattern of walking with God, and he had a resource. He had a resource that he didn't even know before how much he would need. And as we develop our walk with God, we perhaps might not even realize how much we are going to need that in the future. But it's up to us to develop it in the here and now today. Of course, most of you know the story. God did give Daniel he revealed the secret, not only what the dream was, that here was this, you know, statue made out of all of these different metals, and then a rock comes from this mountain, is thrown at it, and it smashes the idol to pieces. And so he was able to receive what the dream was. And then he had the interpretation, which was an incredible revelation of global events into the future. I mean, an amazing thing. And that led to number four, Daniel's rejoicing. You see this in verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Boy, Daniel, there's some serious rejoicing that took place here. If you skip ahead after he reveals this matter to the king and interprets the dream. We don't have time to look at it. But in verse 48, that rejoicing was even magnified by greater promotion. The king made Daniel a great man and gave him great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. And so you see how God blessed Daniel in a great and mighty way. Why? In verse 20, he tells us, or we see that Daniel knew who God was. When you have a walk with God, you will know who he is. You will know him. There will be a personal relationship with him. You will understand what he's about, what he's like. And I don't know how to quite communicate this to you, but it's incredibly beneficial when you understand who God is, Many times that just answers whole questions, things that you might be struggling with. I'm thinking of a situation that I was struggling with a couple of months ago, and it was like, in knowing who God is, it just brought incredible clarity to the situation. Daniel knew who God was. God is the one who has wisdom and might, verse 20. Daniel not only knew who God was, but he knew what God was capable of. He could change the times, change the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom and knowledge. God is sovereign. We see an evidence of his providence. Daniel knew that. He knew what God was capable of. In verse 22, he knew what God's limits were. In other words, there weren't any limits. It says, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what's in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. God is limitless. Daniel knew that about God. And he knew in verse 23, he knew how God desires to work. And this is kind of a fascinating thought. He says, I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and hast known unto me what we desired of thee. Do you know God? How does God work? How does God desire to work? He wants to use you and me. He uses human instruments. Could God have revealed the secret to Nebuchadnezzar directly? Certainly. He could have made Nebuchadnezzar see the vision all over again. He could have boomed it out of heaven, what the interpretation was. This is what I want you to know, Nebuchadnezzar. Could have easily done that. But he desired to use a human vessel, a human instrument. And that's how God works today. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Why? What's God looking for? He's looking to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. God is looking for human vessels. He's looking for individuals that he can use who are ready for him to use to do something of value and something of importance. He's looking for those who are walking with him and who are ready, and that God can begin throw them in a place of usefulness, begin to use them. And all of this was because of Daniel's relationship with God. It was responsible for then further launching him into a position of prominence. And you see that at the end of the chapter, the verses we just looked at, the last three verses, where it says that Nebuchadnezzar made them chief of the governors, of the wise men. And Daniel was there in the gate, and his three friends were set over important matters there. They were promoted. All that was because Daniel walked with God on a regular basis. He was consistent in his relationship with God. So I want to ask you today to consider, do a health checkup on your walk with God, your daily time with God. How consistent is that daily time with God? Did you spend time with him today? If we were to take the last week, 7 days, how many days did you walk with God? Now, I'm not necessarily asking how many times did you read your Bible, because some of you might say, well, you know, I did real well. I checked all the boxes. I read my portion. Did you walk with God, though? Did you communicate with him? Did he speak to you? Did you speak to him? That's what I mean. Did you walk with God today? Are you hearing from God yourself? You know, it's one thing to sit in a chapel service and listen to, okay, the preacher said that I'm supposed to do this, but it's something different when you're walking with God and you're reading for yourself and God saying, I want you to do this. There's a difference. between being sort of spoon-fed and eating yourself? Are you hearing from God yourself? Are you then speaking to God for yourself? I think that a healthy relationship with God and has the idea of, as you're reading, as you're seeing things, as God's speaking to you, you are speaking to Him. Right now I'm reading in a bunch of different places for my devotions, and it's been sort of fun because it kind of provides more opportunity for this rather than reading a larger section. I'm reading a bunch of smaller sections. And I know when, you know, I'm really communing with God, you know, after each section, I'm just praying about what I read. Praying about how God wants me to apply that. And then I go to the next section, read that. Pray about just what I've read and how God spoke. And then I go to the next section and the next section. It's communication. It's not straight formality like, you know, I read this and then I say, Our Father, who art in heaven, you know. It's a relationship. God, you know, I've got these things coming up today. I know I'm going to face this today. I need your help. Would you maybe give me something right now that would help me? I find many times I'm not even necessarily thinking about what I need. And there it is. Like, whoa, yeah. And that's, I'm thinking about this today. That meets that need. Are you hearing from God for yourself? Or are you speaking with God for yourself? Because the time to cultivate that walk is in the here and now. In the mundane day to day. And for many of you, for all of you, you're a bit in this greenhouse time of your life where you're protected from some of the harsher things that might damage you as a person and you as a young individual and your walk with God. You're protected from some of that, like a plant is in the greenhouse. They can still kind of experience the sunlight and the warmth, but the really harsh temperature changes, they don't, you know, they're protected somewhat from that, from the really harsh weather, the winds and the rain and all, they're protected from that. So they can get to the point where they're strong and they can be transplanted out in the real world and be able to survive. You're in that period of time in your life. So that means that you have an opportunity right now to cultivate your walk with God. So that your stem, your little plant can survive when it goes out to the real world. The greenhouse has been prepared for you. It's up to you to utilize that, to put it to work, to make it happen. So what is your walk with God like? And then let's go one step further, because sometimes we get the feeling that, you know, whenever we go to camp or go to chapel or, you know, have services, we get sort of beaten up and, yeah, I should read my Bible more. You probably should. Okay. Now what? Think about beyond what is something practically you could do to make that happen and make it a habit this school year. Perhaps you don't have a plan as far as this is not only what I'm going to read, but here's some things that I'm going to pray about. Say, oh, I don't know what's a good plan. Come talk to me. I'll help you. All right. Talk to your parents. They'll help you. There's a lot of resources out there. We can point you in the direction that you need to go. A plan is good. Also, and that involves like what and where, but think about a plan regarding how much time do you need? When does your bus come? When do your parents leave to take you to school? What's your schedule look like? And how can you make the proper time in that schedule? How can you set your alarm for the proper time so that you make the time? Determine that. How can you prevent the possibility of homework spilling over into that time in the morning. Might even start the night before. With, you know what, if I watch this TV show or I do this one more thing instead of just going to bed, I know it's going to be really hard to get up. I'm going to hit the snooze. I'm not going to spend time. This is the practicality. This is where it really happens, the real world fight. If you're sensing and you're feeling like, no, you know what, I do have a lot of room for growth here. We all do. We all have room for growth. Don't beat yourself up about it. Don't just like, well, you know, I guess I should do more. What practically can you do? Sometimes it might be as simple as 5 minutes earlier on your alarm. That's really simple. It's not real glamorous. It's not a great testimony. God told me I should add 5 minutes to my alarm. Ooh, you're really spiritual. But you know what? It makes a difference. It makes a huge difference. What's a practical step that you can take so that you can have the kind of relationship with God that Daniel had? Perhaps you'll never have somebody knocking on your door saying, based upon your response to what I'm about to tell you, it's going to determine whether or not you're going to live or die. I've never experienced that. I hope you never have to experience that. But if you did, do you have a walk with God to the point where you would have the answer that you would need in that specific situation? Daniel did. It's what made him a remarkable young person. You can be a remarkable young person as well by following that example. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for just this wonderful, wonderful example that you've set in front of us that we can look to, we can pattern our lives after, we can strive to live up to the example that's been put before us. Thank you for Daniel's walk with God. What that meant, how Daniel was able to reveal much of the future, even our own future here today. Because Daniel walked with you, you revealed all of that future to him. We know it today because of Daniel's walk with God. And I pray for these young people that they would understand the importance and the significance of developing a habit of spending time hearing from you and communicating with you. And I pray for those that are struggling with making this a consistent habit. They're struggling with that discipline that's required to say, this is important. I need this. Would you encourage them today? Build them up. Help them to see some very simple steps that they might be able to take so that they can build this habit in their life. It will make all the difference if they will. Thank you for desiring to walk with us every day. Thank you for your desire to speak to our hearts every day, to fellowship with us. And I pray that we would not take that for granted or take that lightly, but that we'd pursue after that relationship. Help these young people now as they embark on this new school year to build some of these habits. For those that are lost, I pray that you continue to convict and draw them, help them to seek after you. For those that know you, I pray that they would make solid choices to please you, that would build their character, and that they would walk with you just like Daniel did. Help us to consider his example as we go forward into this new year. And we ask and pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.